It is time for Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice, traditional small animal medicine and surgery, chiropractic, laser therapy, acupuncture, and Chinese herbal medicine. 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com. With us today, Dr. Carolyn Cannon, owner and chief vet at the Millerton Veterinary Practice. Hello, Dr. Cannon.
Good morning. How are you?
Terrific. As is Veronica in Manhattan, who wonders, in this heat wave, my dog isn't urinating even a fraction of the amount she usually does. For example, in the morning, she hasn't really had to go until almost noon, despite having not gone since 9 the night before. It's sort of hard to track the water level in her bowl because she shares it with three cats, but it seems like she's drinking a decent amount. Is it okay? Do dogs really sweat so much on a hot day through their paws that they don't pee much? She's 2 years old and a Carolina dog.
That's a great question. If she is urinating that scantily, then she's not drinking enough water. So I think that it's a bit difficult to tell with three cats drinking out of the same bowl. She should be, and what size the bowl is, et cetera. Dogs should have a good amount of urine produced their first urine of the day. And if they're not, then they're not getting enough water. And it can be a problem, even a young dog, with concentrated urine causing irritation in the bladder, causing irritation in the urethra, causing sometimes the precipitation of crystals in the urine, which may cause irritation as well, and are sometimes associated with infection. So trying to get enough water into her can be a challenge. Many people add water to the food, so if you can get away with that, that would be great. If you're feeding dry food, perhaps add a little bit of canned food to it or some fresh meat and water. And then trying to get her to stop during the day and drink water. So you can offer her fresh water throughout the day. Some dogs like it when you simply pour out the old water and get them some fresh water. They'll go over and take some drinks, some sips. An alternative is also to, if she won't drink enough water, to water down some broth and have her drink that. But definitely, there are some dogs who are more like cats and just don't want to stop and drink water. I have one of those, and so we add a lot of water to my dog's food, my poodle's food.
And do you, because when it's hot, you know, I know some dogs who just, do drink and some don't, obviously, mm-hmm. and some blow bubbles, but how do you feel about ice cubes or broth ice cubes or anything like that?
I think if your dog is really hot and interested in licking ice cubes, that's fine.
Is that enough water?
It probably doesn't amount to that much.
Okay.
Yeah, so getting them actually to drink. The nice thing about adding water to the food is typically they'll finish all of it. Or having some broth, they'll finish all of it. And dogs can lose quite a bit of water through their paws, through panting more than anything. And they can lose water just as we do in the air conditioning. Very dry, and so it's drying us out. So in the hot weather, watch that amount of urine in the morning especially and make sure that she's urinating through the day a couple of times as well.
All right. Mark in Danbury, my wife and I inherited my late sister's Burmese mountain dog, Thistle. Can you give us a general guideline around exercise? Both of us have only had experience with dogs a lot smaller and more energetic than Thistle. He moves more slowly than either of us are used to, and he's not very enthusiastic about running around. On the other hand, we don't want him to get overweight. Thistle's 4.5 male, and the vet says he's in fine health.
So if Thistle's in fine health, I'm assuming that he's not overweight. And if he's not overweight and his heart's fine, then he should be getting a decent amount of exercise. So we need to maintain muscle mass in a dog that size in order to make them comfortable as they get older. And that means even if you don't have a dog who's going to run around and chase something, then you need to get them on the leash and go leash walking. And I would say to work up to, a couple of miles a day. Seems like a lot, and some days you won't be able to do that. It'll be raining or whatever. There are dogs who are a bit lazy on leash, who will play with other dogs. So going to a dog park or taking your dog to a friend's house and trying to engage them in play gives you a bit of a break, And, you know, playing for half an hour expends a lot of energy. They get some muscle building with that. Hiking is a fun thing to do on the weekends. But I would say that a 4.5-year-old dog would need a couple of miles of walking every day to average that out, at least to keep him in good shape.
And it doesn't say whether or not there's a yard involved.
Yeah, some of these larger breed dogs will be very lazy. And unfortunately, what they do then is they hang around and they put on fat and they don't build muscle. And so it doesn't support that. So they do fine at 4 and 5 and maybe even 6. But once they get older than that, then there's no muscle there to support those joints and ligaments that are to keep the ligament, the tendons tight over the joints. And so they, they will become more painful. And movement is life. We've got to get moving, all of us, and our dogs especially. So this will be good for Mark as well as Thistle.
I love the idea of a dog that size named something that light. All right, Jewel in Bristol, what's your position on flea collars? It's hard to believe a 1-inch strip of plastic can do anything at all, but after a recent flea nightmare, I want to take every possible precaution.
So my opinion is that flea collars will not take care of your flea problem. I haven't met one yet that would be able to do the job. So Seresto, the Seresto collar will, actually. That is the flea and tick collar, the very expensive multi-month flea and tick collar. But a regular flea collar is not going to take care of a flea problem and may not prevent it either. May be helpful, but the spot-on topicals have taken the place of flea collars pretty much.
And what about the chewables, like Bravecto, for example?
Yes, absolutely. So the chewables like Bravecto, NexGard, and the topical applications. I rarely actually see an animal with a flea collar on anymore. We'll see them with Seresto collar, but a regular flea collar on a cat who is exposed to fleas isn't going to help.
Right. Well, I endorse that. Allison in Poughkeepsie, is it my imagination or are there more Giardia outbreaks in the summer? I'm so over going to the vet for antibiotics. Last time I tried giving my Whippet mix Sally these Fortiflora dog probiotics, and it worked, although it did take longer. Anyway, if there's such a thing as Giardia season, should I keep Sally on probiotics until it's over?
So I'm assuming that Giardia here is being equated with diarrhea. So let me start at the beginning here. Giardia is more common in the summer, late summer and fall. So there are seasonalities to enteric or gut infections, absolutely. And so having your dog, any dog who doesn't have an immune system good enough to prevent recurrent Giardia and has diarrhea from Giardia should probably stay on probiotics every day for years. Just keep them on the probiotic. But that being said, the probiotic is not going to treat the Giardia. So if the diarrhea is definitely from Giardia, then obviously antibiotics are indicated. And there are ways to prevent it. So starting to think about where is my dog picking this up, at the dog park, from other dog stools.
Could it be in the yard from her own stool?
Potentially in the yard, yes. So picking up all of the stools, maybe cordoning off a part of the yard that you've used all the time. If you're talking about having a dog maybe on 3 acres, then that won't be
helpful.
Your dog has probably gone everywhere. But training your dog to defecate at the edge of the woods, keeping them off the lawn, cleaning them after they go. So some people will use those baby wipes, and when they come in, you're going to clean them off a little bit so that when they lick themselves, they're not reinfecting.
Does the stuff that they lick off the baby wipes, is that all right?
It depends on if you get the all-natural ones or if you get you're going to get some natural, like, seventh-generation wipes should be okay.
Does water do the trick? Does water and a little bit of...
Water would, too. Some people just, you know...
a little bit of water and an old cloth?
Thing. You can use water on a paper towel.
That's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Clean them off that way. So you want to get the remnants of any feces off so that you are not passing Giardia from one end to the other of the dog. So, you know, this is a good question, and there, giardiasis can be a real problem with particular animals. But sometimes they're carriers, and you can find them in the stool, and yet the antibiotics aren't getting rid of it because they are they're somewhat resistant, and they are potentially spreading Giardia, but it's not giving them diarrhea, in which case, if you have a young dog, then the recommendation is to just stop doing antibiotics and periodically check as long as your dog's not getting diarrhea. But then you have to be very careful that you pick up the feces every time your dog defecates when you're out there.
And then my one other question is it possible that it never goes, I don't mean never, ever, but that you think it's gone away, you finish the course of antibiotics, but it hasn't gone away?
Correct. You should always, always recheck a stool sample a couple of weeks after treating for Giardia. And if your veterinarian is running the ELISA test, then that will continue to come up positive for some time period, potentially a couple of months, after your dog is cleared of Giardia. So you're really looking for the cysts, the Giardia cysts in the stool. So, you know, you can ask that question. I'm careful not to rerun that. I actually don't even use the ELISA test unless I have a dog who's got a diarrhea that's unexplained. Because when they are cleared up, you don't want that test to come back positive and really not know what's going on. So make sure that, number one, that you're treating a dog who actually has diarrhea if you're retreating all the time, and that your veterinarian is seeing the cysts from Giardia in the stool.
All right. Can ear mites change, different body part. Can ear mites in bunnies be transmitted to cats and dogs, asks Kelsey in Hudson.
No, they're a different species. So Ododectes is what dogs and cats get, and Soroptes ear mites are what rabbits get. So they're not transmitted between. I've never seen that happen, and I don't believe that it is possible.
I think that we could stop the show. Not really, but this is the first yes or no question, I believe, in all of these years we've ever had.
I like those.
I do, too. All right. And lastly, Christine in Albany. Maybe I'm being paranoid, but I'm kind of freaked out by the fact that in the apartment I just moved into, the previous tenants had a bunch of snakes. According to the neighbors, they had 3 or 4 tanks in here with snakes in them. Anyway, my question is, my cat's pregnant, and I'm worried that there's some disease the kittens could catch. Please tell me if I'm being crazy, but if I'm not, tell me what to do.
So I can answer this with a yes or no? I think there's nothing that I know, a disease from a reptile that, we're talking about reptiles and mammals, and those diseases typically don't go back and forth, those, even the parasites. So you can see with the ear mites between two mammals, usually are fairly species specific. So something coming from a reptile to a kitten. Now, snakes can be affected by particular bacteria that can cause a problem in their mouths, et cetera. But I think that if you're doing a decent cleaning, then it would not be of a concern at all.
All right, and I've got, to take advantage of the fact that you're here, and we've got another couple of minutes, I've got a quick, it is the time of year, or beginning to notice here in at least our environment, where there's woods and things by the side of the road, and I don't even know the correct name. People have referred to these as hitchhikers, but they are the pre-burrs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the little green things.
I'm quite familiar with them.
I'm sure you are. Do you have any specific techniques other than just, you know, hoping that spaniel rage doesn't kick in, for example, when the spaniel walks through one of these little areas? Or, I mean, you know, I've always picked them out slowly and with a comb, but
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if there's any other.
there isn't a trick. You mean to
yes, some method.
Keeping them from sticking or for getting them out?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's not there aren't any tricks that I know of. Using if your dog is repeatedly getting them, using one of those coat conditioners that makes the coat very slick might be an alternative if you have a long-haired dog, because they would be easier to get out. But getting them out of a poodle is a one at a time. That
endless,
curly tight coat.
Yeah,
it is, and it takes us. You know, if he went through my dog went through his invisible fence. He said he was running away forever because we got a new puppy and he was never coming back.
Right.
And he
did
went
he leave a note?
He didn't leave a note. No, he took off when I was when I had my back turned, and he came back with it was. It's been let me see 5 days. We've been picking out. Burrs, those tiny little burdock.
Yep.
They're not burdock. They are, they're travelers. They're
hangers. They're travelers, hangers. Yeah, exactly. Hitchhikers. But
hitchhikers, right.
It is amazing because the spaniel will walk through, and she's not as tightly curled as a poodle, but it's got that. And then, a week later, after you look through the mat, there at the bottom of it is, that one tiny thing that had I snagged it at the time. It would have been fine, but now she's just got a...
Yeah, so separating the hairs on top, typically is something that I'll do. Instead of trying to yank it out with a comb, some of them need to have the hairs separated until you get down to the little devil and then pull it out that way. With a spaniel, you might try a coat conditioner. But I don't know one to recommend, but I would look for that. There are some spray-on coat conditioners that would help as well.
I know. Unfortunately, the spaniel's two-legged manageress, that would be me, is so scent sensitive.
I see.
And I am actually finding that whoever is formulating these, make your dog smell better stuff, there's something in it that just goes right across the
I understand.
Top of my... So it's like, yes, thank you, no. That's why I asked about water, even with the all natural baby. There's something going on. It's.
So, cutting back the yard as much as you can is helpful as well, and then keeping your dog on a leash. There you go.
How about a cage? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice, 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com.